So I just want to start. This isn't in my notes, but it's just incredible how God works. I'm sitting back there thinking how I'm going to do this, and is it going to be okay, and stuff. And it just amazes me because I left this back there from last Sunday. I didn't know that I did. I just on accident. And it says it's not the man, it's the message. So as long as we're, you know, within the context of this book, it, you know, as long as we stay there, you know, the way you can preach the message kind of makes a difference. But as long as you're within the context, it's good stuff. Brother Tim and I listen to tons of sermons. He listens to probably a lot more than I do, but I listen a lot too. And we laugh at each other because we won't really pick a sermon sometimes if we're not looking for anything. We'll just take our phones on a sermon thing and just like that and click on one. And it's funny because we'll both do the same thing. We'll click on it and start listening to it, and it's somebody like me up there that has no idea really what they're doing other than they're preaching the word. I'm going to skip this message, but something's saying, well, I probably better listen to it. And you listen to it, and it's like, whoa, that guy's right on. So with that being said, I apologize because I'll have to stick to my notes a lot tonight because I don't have it very well memorized. But either way, it's a blessing to be able to be here tonight, to have the opportunity to preach the Word of God. So right before I was saved, I heard a sermon preached out of Matthew on the Beatitudes, which is when Jesus is preaching his Sermon on the Mount, and about that time, I was really getting into reading my Bible. After that sermon, I read the Sermon on the Mount several times. The verses I'll be preaching out of tonight just really stood out to me. I believe that's because there was a decision that I had been needing to make for a while and was hesitant in the decision, and that was that I needed to be saved. And before learning about true salvation, I also thought there's other ways to heaven. I knew that God was working in me, but I thought I needed to straighten myself out before I make this decision. Well, I was wrong in my thinking. I met with Pastor Moore several times, and he explained to me that all I need to do is to surrender to the Lord, and he will give me what I need to get my life together. Even with all those meetings and knowing I needed to be saved, I was still not asking the Lord into my life. I'll never forget during a Bible study, Pastor told me to, he said, Josh, turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 9 and in verse 5. And it says, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Which in that time, it was talking about a donkey getting prodded with a rod and going one way or another and the donkey kicking back. Pastor said, God is pricking you and you're fighting it, which I was. I'd sit right down there every Sunday and I'd about rip the pews out of the floor because I knew God was talking to me. So I was fighting it, and I was, because for some reason I just couldn't get out of my head that I needed to get right before I came to God, and that's so backwards. You come to God, He gives you what you need. You can't do it without Him. You get this right from the Bible in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said that, so if there's anyone here tonight that is not saved, I just want you to know that there's nothing you need to do or can do before you come to God other than humble yourself, call upon the Lord, and He will provide what you need. So I called out to the Lord on April 25th, 2021, and was saved, and now fast forward to now. Pastor Moore needed someone to preach for tonight because we were going to be short on people, didn't know if Pastor Chad was going to be here. So I applied for the position, and I was accepted. I was meeting with Pastor Chad, and he was explaining to me how preaching works. He said, you go to the Lord in prayer, and He will guide you on what you need to bring to His people. So I prayed about what to preach, and it was oh so clear to me. Now, it's just amazing how the Lord works, because He knew that 2 years ago, when I was reading that Sermon on the Mount, that I would be before you all tonight preaching these two verses. And He also knew who was going to be in attendance to hear His message. It has been a blessing to be able to study for this message, and it's helped me grow as a disciple of the Lord. 2 days ago, I was reading over this, and I was thinking, this sermon writing isn't going very well. I almost picked up the phone and called Pastor Chad, tell him that I don't think I can pull this off. I prayed about it and realized I'm right. I can't pull this off, but with the help of the Lord, it'll be no problem. We must not forget that without God, nothing is impossible. And that if He's calling you to do something, that He will provide what you need to make it happen. So if you'll stand with me, if you're able, for the reading of the Word of God, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We'll be reading verses 13 and 14. All right, is everybody there? All right, the Bible says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Let us pray. Dear Father, Lord, thank you for allowing me to stand here before your people and preach your message. Lord, please move me out of the way and give me the words to say. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So Jesus here, he's towards the end of his Sermon on the Mount. It says in chapter 5, he went up into a mountain and his disciples came to him and he began teaching them. Our two verses are near the end as Jesus is coming to a conclusion and giving his disciples a choice of two roads, two ways to live, with only one being the right way. So when I initially heard these verses, I thought it was strictly about salvation. But as I studied this out more, it's more about being a disciple of the Lord. But salvation is definitely in the context here. As it says in chapter 5, verse 20, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven," and also later in the chapter that we will get to. However, this is not the first time in the Bible has mentioned such choices as these. In Jeremiah 21, verse 8, says, "And unto this people thou shalt say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death." Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I love that one. So just to clarify here, since I will be talking about salvation and discipleship, I want to be as clear as I can so that there is no confusion. To be saved, you must call upon the Lord and surrender to Him. Once saved, you're on your way to heaven. There's nothing you can do to change that. Salvation is a free gift from God, and you cannot lose it. I'll try and be as clear as I can so that you'll know when I'm referring to salvation versus discipleship. So we'll start in verse 13. It says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate." The word "strait" here means narrow. "For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat." Jesus is saying, enter the strait gate. Entering meaning you need to decide, and soon. So let's look at the wide and broad way and what that looks like. Wide and broad meaning there is room for everything you want or anything you want to believe. And many will be on this road. Why? Because this road is easy. It's comfortable. You can do whatever you want, believe however you want, and if you're a good person, then ultimately you'll end up in heaven. Well, I'm sorry, friend, that is not the truth. The problem is that there's many on this path, so naturally people are going to think, well, if there are so many going this way and so few going that way, then I'm going to follow the crowd because that must be correct. Well, that's wrong. If you live your life thinking your good works will get you to heaven, do you know what will happen? It's later in the chapter here. I'll read it to you in verses 22 and 23. And this is Jesus talking. He says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." It's this way today when it comes to churches. I'm thankful that I'm a member of Valley Avenue Baptist Church. Fundamental, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, New Testament church. So many churches have the idea today to be like the world to bring people in, when the truth is we should be changing the world. So they will change their music to be more worldly. They will even change their beliefs so they won't offend people. Those churches are on the Broadway. I'm thankful we stand on the Word of God here at Valley Avenue Baptist Church. We preach the narrow way here. What does that mean? Well, we preach the Bible cover to cover. We leave nothing out. And obviously, as one preaches through the Bible, there is going to be preaching about sin. And it's sad that some people will hear a message preached on sin. It just happens to be the sin they commit. They will get mad at the preacher. How dare he talks about my sin? Well, there's a great chance the preacher knew nothing about your sin. He's just preaching what the Bible says. So they will get upset. They'll get mad at the preacher. They'll sometimes even leave the church. So instead of getting mad at the preacher, what they need to be doing is getting on their face and getting right with God. An example. Okay, so here's an example that I stole from Brother Sam Davidson. This isn't in my notes. I figured I'd just wing it because there was no other way for me to do this. And this is another thing that God helped me with. Trying to think how I'm going to do this. So I was back there sitting like this before the message. I'm looking down these chairs. I'm like, oh, this is it. This is what I'm going to say. So his example wasn't the same, but the point's the same. So say these chairs were perfectly straight, which they're clearly not, but say they were. Okay? And say you took this chair here and went off to the right, or to my right, this way, just a little bit. And that chair off to the right just a little bit, and then to this chair a little bit further. So by the time you get down here, this chair is clearly not lined up with this chair. But at the beginning, it looks close. So you're not going to realize it. By the time you get down there, it's way off. So he said, that's the same way when you're preaching the Bible. He said, if you change something in this book just a little bit, to make somebody feel comfortable, you're going to be over here, then you're going to be over here, and then you're going to be way off, and before you know it, you're going to be so far off you don't even know what happened and how you even got there. Now I got to find my back in my notes here. So people pick churches for several reasons, a lot of them being for comfort, or where their family has went for years, or think that as long as they're in a church or haven't killed anyone, that God probably thinks they're good enough to go to heaven. And that's all they need to do. They are sadly taught that they can go to heaven by their good works, or because they were baptized as a baby, or because they grew up in a church. But my question to them is, can you find any of these teachings in the Bible? The obvious answer is no, you cannot. Jesus said, John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There are so many religions out there that claim different ways to heaven. It is stated later in chapter 7 to beware of false prophets. But it's clear that Jesus here said there are only two roads, and only one of those leads to life. Only one of those is the right choice. Only road. Only one road is right. And the other road will be full of false prophets claiming other ways to salvation. All of these other roads to heaven are man-made. I cannot believe man ever thought he could change the ways to heaven and that people would actually follow those teachings. They're clearly not biblical. I have a quote here from Brother Jason Gaddis. It says, God has provided only one way to heaven, but man has invented many roads to hell. It blows my mind that people think they can get to heaven any other way. Where did the idea come from? It came from a man and not God. The problem is that so many people follow man and not God. They think, well, this is the way my family has believed for years, so this must be right. Or I go to church every Sunday. Isn't that enough? Unfortunately, they never seek the truth of the gospel for themselves. If they'd only open their Bible and read for themselves, it is so clear. Jesus said, there's only two roads and only one's right. People say, well, God loves everyone, so if I just not do anything wrong, then I'm okay, or... you know, God loves everyone. Well, God does love everyone, but God is also just and must judge sin. He's a Savior, but He's also the judge. Moving on to verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. This isn't in my notes, but in the sermon I listened to by Brother Gaddis, it's true when he says, few there be that find it. Look how many people are in church tonight. Look how many people are in Fall City. That's the few. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. This road is narrow. You can only enter this road one at a time. No one can do it for you. You must humble yourself to be on this road. There are few on this road because it is not easy. There's persecution on this road. The road is hard, You must be obedient to be on it. I've read it in many commentaries that entering the narrow road is like going through a turnstile. Turnstile is a thing like an airport or a big event that just clicks one person at a time through. You can't go through a turnstile with luggage. It's a gate of self-denial. It is not the gate that admits anyone who wants to carry all their luggage in. It is a gate where you strip off all of self and self-righteousness and sin and everything. You unload it or you don't come through it. Once you are saved, you aren't just automatically on the narrow road, but also you have to be saved to enter the narrow road. You can be saved and still live on the wide road, so you will still go to heaven in the end. There'll just be destruction in your life. There are many decisions to be made every day, choices to be made on the narrow road. You don't end up on the narrow road by accident. It takes a decision. You must decide. You must enter. People don't like this road because they think it's no fun. They can't enjoy the life they want. So you're telling me that you think what you consider is a little fun in this short life is worth more than the blessings of the Lord by being His disciple? To be on the narrow path is a path where you'll receive the blessings of the Lord. And that, my friend, is far greater than anything you can achieve on your own. To be on the narrow road means there's music you can't listen to. There's movies and TV that you can't watch. There's events that you won't be able to attend on Sundays and Wednesdays because you need to be in church. And of course, you must tithe. Being His disciple means you need to obey His word. Jesus makes it clear there are only two choices, two roads, and only one road leads to life. Salvation is a free gift from God to those who believe. But discipleship and obedience are the response that will occur when one truly comes to Christ in faith. The decision of which road to be on should be made soon, as there is no time to be putting off a decision like this before it's too late. Man makes a choice. You're good enough on your own to make it to heaven, or you're not, and you cast yourself on the mercy of God through Christ. Those are the only two religions in the world. You might say, Brother Josh, there's thousands of religions there. No. Jesus said there are only two, and only one is the right way, and only one leads to eternal life. There is a religion of divine accomplishment, God has done it all in Christ, and there is the religion of human achievement, do it yourself, and only one of those gives you eternal life. Sadly, so many are on the wrong road and believe they are on their way to heaven because of false teachings. Once you are saved, the Holy Spirit dwells in you, but you must decide daily to be His disciple. So just to summarize this, you call upon the Lord for salvation. You cannot lose it. After you are saved, you are to be a disciple of the Lord. There are two ways, a wrong way and a right way. You must choose. Which road will you take? Let us pray. Dear Father, thank you for allowing me to preach tonight. Lord, I pray that you work in each one of our hearts tonight to be your disciple. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. If you all want to stand with me,